know? Do you know who I am?
Stephen.
Do you know I'm Stephen? Okay, that's a good start, isn't it? What else do you know about me? Anything?
I'm Paul Coyne, I'm a patron.
I'm Paul Coyne. What else do you know about me?
You go gliding.
I go gliding. He's picked that up on me. How am I qualified to stand at the front here? Okay, so let me tell you, I'm 71 years old. My father was a diplomat. I went abroad at 3 months old to a place called Guatemala. Does anybody know what Guatemala is? Yeah? Okay, so Spanish was my first language because we had maids and they taught me and I spoke English to those people who were my parents. Does that qualify me to speak here?
No.
I'm a gliding instructor. I've been gliding since 1970. So I do a lot of flying. Does that qualify me to speak here? I used to be a banker. Does that qualify me to speak here? What qualifies me to speak here is I'm a sinner who's been saved. Okay, it doesn't matter who we are, so whether we come from Portugal or Iran, wherever, Guatemala, we need to know that Jesus is our Saviour. Okay? That is the important thing. I'm a sinner who's been saved. I understand the word grace. But what we've got telling us about grace is this book. Okay? So we've got basically that bit, which is the Bible that Jesus used, and we've got that bit that we've been given since. And we need to use it all. So, who's heard of St. Augustine? Yeah? St. Augustine said, the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed, as the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. And what I want to try and do today is to show you how much of this enormously good stuff in the Old Testament, and as we look at what Jesus says, nearly everything he says is a quote from the Old Testament. And if we see where it comes from, it actually means so much more. So what I'd like to do is ask you a question, which I'm going to answer at the end of the thing. Who can tell me what last Sunday was? So hold on to that as a question. Who can tell me what last Sunday was? Because it's a really important day
in the
biblical calendar.
Was it Yom Kippur?
No, it's not Yom Kippur. Close, but not. But it's really important. The stuff that we've got in the Old Testament comes through in what we understand today. So, what I'd like to do is, having introduced myself, actually Alistair asked me to come, actually. I pray with Alistair every month. We've got a prayer group of men from Oxford and Caterham and Horsham, and we pray together the second Monday every morning together for all things that we've got. So my job today is to enthuse you to read your Bible. So how many read their Bible every day? That's not a good showing, is it? We should read our Bible every day. Does anybody find the Bible confusing sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do, don't we? So the more we read it, the more we'll understand. So we need to understand. And we also get confused because it jumps about all over the place. So I got myself a book once, which is called The Bible in a Year Chronologically. So you read through the Bible in a year, but they've set it all up, so everything runs concurrently. So sometimes you're reading out three or four books at once when you're reading about all the kings. So you've got 1 and 2 Kings, you've got 1 and 2 Chronicles, and then you're reading in the prophets as well, because they're the prophets that are relevant at the time. Otherwise you're jumping around all over the place and it makes it really difficult to understand. And I've put together a course that I run in our church, which is an overview of the Old Testament in a year. And it is an overview, and it's once a week, and it's an hour, and it takes 38 weeks to do it, and that's an overview. So there's so much there to be looked at. So let me start off. I'm going to be talking to you about the convocations or the feasts of God. But where do we start getting dates and things in the Bible? And it's important that we understand where the dates come from. So let's come up here. Convocations. God said, let there be lights in the sky to separate. I can read it on here, it's too small. Thank you. Just a bit more so we can read the word. Lights in the sky, in the vault of the sky, so that we can see. Make it a bit smaller and then we can read the full answer.
Doesn't let me.
Just a bit tight, that's it. Separate day from night, and let them serve as signs and mark sacred times, days, and years. Okay, and then it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, speak to the children of Israel, and said to them, the feasts of the Lord. Now, this is really important. Whose feasts are they? Are they the Jews? No. These are the feasts of the Lord. This is what God has put into place for us. And I'm going to show you that we celebrate them, sort of. So can anybody tell me what this year is? But it's a sabbatical year. And when you understand the significance of a sabbatical year, people need to take it seriously. Has it been a good year? No. If we go back 50 years, what does it take us to? Was that a good year? Go back another 50 years. Was that a good year? No, it wasn't. These are sabbatical years, and the world falls apart on them because people aren't listening to what God has to say. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at how these affect us. So let's go on to the next slide, please. So Paul tells us to be careful. Yeah? Therefore, do not anybody judge you that you may eat or drink or regard it to a religious festival, a new moon, celebration of a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things to come. So they're important, but they're not going to be anything like the reality. So we need to take these things into consideration. Where are we? A shadow of things to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Mm. That is the important thing. So let me ask you a question. Where does the word Christ come from?
Messiah.
Messiah is the Hebrew. Christ is the Greek.
No.
Okay. So we need to understand there are two differences here. And we need to understand the Hebrew side from the Greek side. Because it makes it really interesting. So, you know, here we've got a representation of peoples, whether we're from the complete western side of Europe, or Iraq, yeah. We represent African people, whether we are or we're not. But we've all got the same father. We've all got the same father. Okay, and his name's Adam. So when people talk about being racist, that's rubbish, because we're all the same race. We're all Homo sapiens sapiens. And it really annoys me when people use that term. They're being colour prejudiced. They're not being racist. But what we need to know is we've got the same father and the same Messiah. Okay, next slide. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. This is also really important. We need to take into consideration the law and the prophets. He's not going to move one jot or tittle. So do you know what the jot is in what he's saying? I mean, it's really good that when we sang that hymn, it had the Hebrew up as well. So does anybody know what God's name is in Hebrew?
Yod, Vav, Hey.
Okay? And the Yod, the first letter, is the jot. But it's one of the most important letters in Hebrew, because it's the first letter of God's name. And we need to really get infused by God's word. So, see the context in which these things are, so I've got slides here as well. Next slide, it says, the Western and the Greek, again, view of prophecy predicted things in different ways. We expect somebody to say something and then for it to come true. Yeah? And the test of a prophet is that they say something and it comes true. But if you actually look at prophecy within the Bible, there are repetitions of prophecy going on and on through the Bible. So the Bible repeats itself, and you're going to see stories that occur that happen again and again. So we should see the pattern, okay? So you have types, and you've got patterns, and similitudes. So, let's go on to the next slide. Figures of speech, similitudes. So we can find them in the Bible. There are over 200 types of words used in the Bible to describe things. But we'll look at type, okay, from which we get the word prototype. Simile, which is a resemblance. And a metaphor, which is a representation. So you, my daughter's a teacher, okay? The English she's teaching is better than the English I was taught when I was at school. So you're being taught, if you're being taught the same syllabus, it seems to be different schools, but I'm sort of sure it's the same. We need to understand what's happening here. So one of the things I'd like to show you is what's called the Akidah. Does anybody know what the Akidah is? It's not Welsh. It's not the Yakidah, it's the Akidah. And what that is the story of Isaac. And I want you to understand what happens. So, my heart attack is getting worse and worse. So, let's think about Isaac. So, Isaac is the only son of Abraham who's important. And Abraham said, God says to Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and take him up to Mount Moriah. And I want you to sacrifice him to me there. So we're all familiar with that story. So that it says immediately, which is obedience, Abraham takes his son and they go up to Mount Moriah. How many days away is it? 3 days. Okay. When they get to the bottom of the hill, they say he leaves the two servants, he puts the wood on Isaac, and he has the fire in his hand, and he walks up to the top of Mount Moriah. Do you know where Mount Moriah is?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. It's the place where Jesus was actually crucified. Mm. So he takes him up, and on the way up, Isaac goes, so Isaac's not a little boy. Let's remember that. He's not a little boy at this stage. He's big enough to be carrying all the wood. And he says, I can see the wood, and you've got fire, but where's the lamb? Mm. And Abraham says, God himself will provide the sacrifice. So do you see what Abraham is saying? He's saying, God himself will provide the sacrifice. So who is Jesus?
The sacrifice.
God himself. Alright? So we're having an acting going on. And they get to the top. He binds him. He's about to kill him. And God says, here's, you know, release him, here's the lamb. When is Isaac next mentioned in the Bible? Because he's not mentioned for the next 3 chapters or so. Mm. The next time he's mentioned is when Eliezer is coming back from having collected Rebekah. And she goes, who's that? And he says, it's my master's son. So do you see that Isaac disappears from the story until he welcomes his bride? Jesus disappears in that sense, and the next time we see him is when he's welcoming his bride. So the Bible's full of these illustrations to us, and we need to become familiar with them and get excited about them. So what we're going to look at is these feasts, because they're all either historical or future. So does anybody know what heptatic means? Next slide.
To do with seven.
To do with seven. So how many sevens do we have in the Bible?
Wager a guess, 49. Seven sevens.
Seven sevens, 49. What's that relevant to? I like a bit of interaction because it means people are listening. So what's sevens? What's the first seven that we get in the Bible? 7 days of the week. Good, okay. Another seven? So what's the 49 represent? Seven sevens, 49, Feast of Weeks. And the fifth day, okay. Next slide. So, what we've got there is 7 days of creation on the first day, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. So from a biblical point of view, the day starts at 6 o'clock in the evening, and that's really important that we understand that, because when you see things that are going on, you count the days and it doesn't work, but it's because you're counting them wrong. We're not counting them as the Bible says. Okay, let's move on. So, go back. Back one more. Okay, go forward. I'm not getting excited about it.
No.
So, Leviticus 23, this is really important, okay? So this stipulates that you're going to set up feasts. And what's going to happen is you'll see in a bit that there is a calendar. Okay, so we've got a calendar that we run to, but there are equivalent months in Hebrew. And what's really important is that we understand the dates that are being spoken about. So does anybody know which day the ark landed on Mount Ararat? Okay, you've got it ready, and you have it. But when you get enthusiastic about it...
Was it the 40th day?
Wow! It was no. It was a bit longer than that, actually.
Was it? Okay.
It was at 40 days and 40 nights. It rained for. Not like today, the sun's come out already. So, the ark landed on the 17th day of the 7th month. Okay. But when we get to Moses, and the children are coming out of Egypt, I can give you the references to all of these if you want to come up. What we get is that... move on to the next one. Thank you. So, here we've got the feasts of Israel, okay? Sorry, the feasts of the Lord, that's the important bit. Feasts, the word Migror, is a gathering together to remember. But it also has within it the word dress rehearsal. So, all the feasts, the Hamoyadim, the holy days of God, the word also incorporates dress rehearsal. So all of these feasts, every year that they perform them, they were a dress rehearsal for what was going to happen. And we're going to see the ones that have happened and the ones that are yet to come. Because the Bible is telling us what will happen. I don't know what date it's going to be, but we're one day nearer than we were yesterday, for certain. So can we go to the story 10?
This one?
That'll be one bit. So these are the things that we get. Move on.
Okay. Down. Shift.
So what we're going to look at is we are actually going to look at the feasts. Okay? So this is what happens in the Jubilee. All the land reverts to original owners. So when Jews went into Israel, they were allotted land for the families. You could mortgage it, you could lease it, you could do everything you wanted to it, but in the 50th year, the Jubilee year, everything reverted back to who it belonged to. So you could only lease it, whatever, but however long. And that's the beauty of it, really. It's like a redemption. All the slaves went free, all debts were cancelled. So if you made a deal with somebody, you only made it to that date because you knew it was going to be finished at that date. So, you know, it's really a sensible system of doing things. Okay, can we go to the next slide? So this is all Leviticus 23 now, so if you want to pull up Leviticus 23. So, these are the spring feasts. Okay, so they run through Passover, Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits. So the spring feasts are when they came out of Egypt. Okay, so they actually fulfilled these, and it says you're to take a lamb on the 10th day of the month, and you're going to take it home. And you're going to check it, and you're going to make sure it's perfect, a perfect lamb, because you're going to sacrifice that. And so on the 14th day, you're going to sacrifice it. So that is the Passover night. So when they were in Egypt, the angel of death, the death came, he saw the blood that was on the lintels of the doorpost, and he went over that house. Now it didn't matter whether you were Egyptian or you were Hebrew. If the blood was there, you were covered. And if the blood wasn't there, if you were Hebrew, you died. So it was the blood that was the thing that was important. That was the passing over of the angel of death. The next day is called Unleavened Bread, and it's then the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. But they were about to go out to the desert, so they couldn't take bread that had yeast in it because it goes mouldy really quickly. So you had flatbread with unleavened bread, and that's the feast that they then celebrate. So I want you to remember that when Jesus was crucified, or about to be crucified, he had the trials that he had, and then they took him to Pilate. And it says that the leaders would not go into Pilate's house because they would not be able to celebrate unleavened bread. Okay, so it fixes it very specifically to the right place. And then you get first fruits. So first fruits is the 17th day of the first month. That was the seventh month, because if you look through what Moses says, God says to Moses, this month will be now the first month of the year for you. And we'll see that the calendar that goes on. So we need to understand where these things are coming from. So first fruits, the first day of new life with Noah, happens to be the first day of new life with Jesus as the risen Saviour. So this is pattern. The Bible is laying it out for us. We've got to see it. We've got to understand it, and we've got to see it. And it starts to make you look at things. Okay, so we saw the 3 days that Isaac was taken up to Mount Moriah. From Abraham's point of view, when he took Isaac, that first moment, he was as good as dead. He knew he was going to go through with it. Okay, so he was as good as dead. So how long was Jesus in the grave? Okay. So it's a pattern. And we need to understand when we see threes in the Bible, when we see sevens in the Bible, there is a pattern that we need to get excited about, because we're being shown something And we need to let our antenna go up and go, what's going on here? Because it's exciting. So we then get okay, Pentecost. That is a representation. That's the day they gave, Moses was given the law. We'd call it the law. I like to call it God's instruction to us, because the law is very hard. The law says this, the law says that. God's trying to get us to live his way. And he said, if you want the best for yourselves, this is the way to live. So I'll give you an insight. What is the third commandment? Does anybody know it?
Honour your parents.
Take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? This is a practical test. What's your name?
Philipsia what?
Greenway.
Have you always been Philipsia Greenway?
No.
What were you before you were Philipsia Greenway?
O'Gara.
O'Gara. Philipsia, why? Why have you changed your name? Okay, so do you understand what she's done? You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, is that good news? Yeah, you shan't take his name in vain. If you take the Lord's name, what does that mean?
You're a Christian.
You're a follower of God, okay? I find, because I have a real affinity for Jewish people, the word Christ to them means it's a different religion to mine. What I want them to do is to see it's their Messiah. He's their Messiah. He's our Messiah. So, if you look at these Ten Commandments, God is saying, take my name. Become one of my people. But you've got to do it yourself. Take my name. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. If you take my name, it won't be in vain. But that means it's a hard decision. Yeah? So just look at these things and see where we go. And then we get the autumn feasts. Okay? We get trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. Get 10 days of being sorry for yourselves, and then you get Yom Kippur. Yeah? Day of Atonement. And then you get Tabernacles. So, has Jesus fulfilled the spring feasts? Has he become the Passover lamb?
Yes.
Has he become first fruits?
Mm-hmm.
Have we been given the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Has Jesus come back?
Mm-hmm.
So, when we get trumpets, who's going to come? It's going to be Jesus. Isn't it? And then there's going to be a reconciliation. Yom Kippur, a day of atonement. For those people who have taken his name, that's the important thing. Those people that have taken his name, those people who have it out. And then we get Tabernacles. He comes to live with us. Yeah? So these have still got to be fulfilled. And what was the question I asked at the beginning?
What
was last Sunday? Let's go on to the next slide. I just want to show you the calendar. So, what we've got here, okay, this is the civil calendar. So, month one would be Tishrei, and if we squeeze it out, we get the equivalent months. So that shows you, if you can see that. So, month one on the civil calendar is Tishrei, okay? We should have September, October, where we are now. But when God
Exodus said this month will now become the first month for you. He was giving us the biblical calendar. So Nisan becomes the first month of the year from a religious point of view, God's point of view. So that's really important that we understand that. So we'll look at the next slide. And we just go through this really quickly. So lesson one is the first day of the religious year. You happy saw that?
Mm-hmm.
Next slide. Lesson 10. That's the day the lamb is selected. Because you just read it. If you haven't, you can read it. The lamb is selected and inspected. Okay? How does Jesus fulfill a lamb is selected and inspected? No, no, let's have another look at the next. Lamb is sacrificed. Can we squeeze it?
That's all of it.
That's it, carry on then. Carry on. We get the Sabbath, and then we get first fruits. So this is the Passover. Right? The lamb is selected. What happens when Jesus rides into Jerusalem? Everybody looks at him. Palm Sunday. Yeah? On the 14th day of Nisan, the lamb is sacrificed. Jesus is hung on the cross at the time the lamb will be sacrificed. He is fulfilling totally God's instruction. Unleavened bread. Nothing happens the next day. He's in the grave. The day after that's a Sabbath day. Nothing happens. And then it says, early on the first day of the week, the first day of the week being
Sunday,
Mary and the others go to the tomb. And what's happened? It's empty because he's risen. First fruits. So Jesus is the fulfillment of these Sabbath feasts. So they're all a pattern that's been laid out before we go. Does it excite you, doesn't it? I hope it excites you, because it should do. Okay, let's just move on. Shavuot, we've got the Feast of Weeks, we've spoken about that. Celebrate two loaves of leavened or unleavened bread? So leavened bread, why is it leavened? No yeast. Yeah, it's got yeast on it. So, you talk about the Jews, you talk about the Gentiles. I am what's called Goy. That means I'm not Jewish. From their perspective. So I'm sinful. So I'm full of yeast. Okay? So why do we have a festival where they have leavened bread in it? Can anybody tell me when Ruth was gleaning?
In the fields of Boaz.
And what was the harvest?
The barley.
The barley harvest. That's now. So can you see how the stories, they all tie in to the right time? Who is, she's a Gentile non-white woman. But she's one of the mothers of Jesus. She is brought into the line. And that's what they're celebrating. There are so many things that we need to grab hold of and understand where we're going. Next. Sorry, they're coming to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, keep going. I'm running out of time. So, we've got that there, and now we've got this time here. So, we're in Tabernacles, let's move on again. Okay, so these are the days of the feast, yeah? So we go right the way through, and then we come to the red one. The red one, okay? So we'd like something like to read
John 7:37. Just read it out, please.
On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who have believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Thank you. Isn't that amazing? Last Sunday is that red day. So if we're trying to think about what we're doing, we can make our weeks come alive. And what's really interesting is the temple, and they don't know, Temple Mount is a load of rubbish, okay? With all due respect to the Jews and everybody who takes you up there. When the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70, Josephus, who went there, said, you could not tell where the temple stood. Because Jesus said, not one stone of this temple would stand on the other. Everything that they're looking at is of the fortress. Okay, they had a whole legion up there. There were 8,000 people living up there. It's the same format as any Roman camp you look at. Same size, everything. They do not know where the temple was. So Jesus said, not one stone will be left on another. But this festival, there used to be a fountain, a water fountain, a geyser, something like that. And on this day, the water used to gush out of the temple. It used to come up through a hole, and it used to flood out, and it used to go down the hill. So if we think about the pictures that Ezekiel paints of the temple and also in Revelation, there's the picture of God's temple and the river of life flows out. So we've got something to be excited about, haven't we? So, where are we? Nearly there. Okay. Next slide. Okay, so this is just to sort of resume marriage. Okay, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So God is looking forward to a marriage. So a promise is made. Okay, we're betrothed. We honour that. And as we come to Jesus, the bride price is paid. So, whether you're male or female, you're going to be part of the bride of Christ. Okay? I am part of the bride of Christ, and my bride price has been paid. I can't do it myself, I'm not good enough. Okay? Does anybody know what the unholy Trinity is? I like to use this. The unholy Trinity is me, myself, and I. And none of those three are good enough. But Jesus has paid for my sin. And so the bride price is paid. Where has he gone? He's gone to prepare a place for us. And what's he waiting to do now? He's waiting to come back. When the place is prepared, he will come back. So does anybody remember the parable of the wise and foolish virgins? Why don't they know when the bridegroom's coming back? Because he hasn't finished preparing the place yet. But they need to be ready. And we need to be ready. And so what we're looking forward to now is the marriage feast of the Lamb. With you hopefully, and I hopefully, well I am, I don't know about you, I need to be ready. Because I am not relying on anything of me to be good enough. The only thing that's good enough is Jesus' blood. That is all I can claim. Doesn't matter how many Bible studies I do, doesn't matter how much I go out and help people, it's all like filthy rags compared with the blood of Christ. It's only Jesus' blood that's good enough. We've been saying about it, grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Are you ready? Well, I hope you are. But if you're not, take one of these. Because these are God's word, and God's word is perfect. So you don't want to listen to what I'm saying. All I want to do is to encourage you to read. Because if you read, then you'll know. So 45 years ago, there was a young man who was living life, and he met a young lady, and she was going to church, would you believe? So this chap was 25 years old. And he started going out with this girl, and then this girl said, well, you're not showing me any sign of being interested in Jesus, so you've got to push. And that young man went to see the youth group leader in the church, and the youth group leader read this letter that she'd sent him, which was about 4 pages long. And he went, he said, I'm really pleased she's taking her faith seriously. And that young man said, what consolation is that to him? He said, none at all. And then that young man was given a pipe. Six weeks later, that came to life as Jesus. So you need to give the word of God to people. Because this is what speaks to you more than anything. Well, she's gone quite. So thank you. Perhaps we could pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it speaks to us in the heart and in the mind. And Lord, we pray, I pray, that these words today will be an incentive, an encouragement to reach out to your word and read it every day. And Lord, I pray that as people read your word, they would understand who you are and get to know you better, to get to know you as Lord and Saviour. We ask the glory to go to your name.
Amen. Excellent. Thank you. And to end with. Okay, so just before I say the grace, it'll be a quick song.